In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia.
For our shield belongs to the Lord.
Our King to the Holy One of Israel.
Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one and said,
I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people.
I have found David my servant.
With my holy oil I have anointed him.
So that my hand shall be established with him.
My arm also shall strengthen him.
The enemy shall not outwit him.
The wicked shall not humble him.
I will crush his foes before him.
And strike down those who hate him.
My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him.
And in my name shall his horn be exalted.
I will set his hand on the sea.
And his right hand on the rivers.
He shall cry to me, you are my Father.
My God and the rock of my salvation.
And I will make him the firstborn.
The highest of the kings of the earth.
My steadfast love I will keep for him forever.
And my covenant will stand firm for him.
I will establish his offspring forever.
And his throne as the days of the heavens.
The Lord be with you.
and also with you.
O Lord, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 35. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. And taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel reading this morning, we seem to have two unrelated stories. In the first story, we have Jesus prophesying his coming death. And then also we have this story about a blind beggar on the side of the road. So how do these two stories relate? Well, there is really sort of a juxtaposition of these stories that tell the account of real blindness versus physical blindness.
So in that first story, the 12 disciples understood none of the things that Jesus was telling them about concerning his death and resurrection. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. In other words, they were the ones who were truly blind. And in the second story about the blind beggar on the side of the road who cried out to Jesus for healing, this man was physically blind, yes, but this man understood by faith who Jesus was and what he could do. In other words, he wasn't really blind at all. The blindness of the disciples was more severe. Surely they could see what Jesus was doing throughout his ministry, and they thought they understood what it was all about, but they really didn't. And so at this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus was intentionally heading toward Jerusalem, and he knew precisely why he was going there. He was fulfilling the purpose of his ministry. Everything that the Bible spoke about, the Old Testament scriptures spoke about concerning the Messiah, he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Jesus walked deliberately toward his death, knowing what was coming. The disciples, however, didn't have the faintest idea. And so Jesus told them. He explained to them how the Jewish religious leaders were going to seize him, turn him over to the Gentiles. He described how he would be mocked, how he would be treated shamefully, how they would spit upon him and scourge him and then kill him. He didn't have to say they would crucify him, because ultimately that's what the Romans did to the non-Romans. They would execute them by crucifixion. And so he told them that he would ultimately be crucified. And then he told them that he would rise again after 3 days. And still, even after explaining this to the disciples, they did not understand. None of it made any sense to them. Luke says they did not comprehend the things that were said. Why not? Is it because they were dull? Is it because God had hidden this information from them? It might have been because they could not conceive of how these things could possibly be true, because Jesus was so popular and things were going so well for him in his ministry. And there were a lot of dynamics at work, but their failure to see what the scriptures said and to hear what Jesus was saying to them is a form of spiritual blindness. And then following this exchange, Jesus and his disciples drew near to Jericho, where a blind man, a physically blind man, was sitting by the roadside begging. And then persistently he's crying out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus came near to him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." Jesus has said that before to people after healing them. He says, "Your faith has made you well." And what does that mean exactly? Why does Jesus say that to people? Is it because these people were healed because of their faith? Did their faith somehow contribute to their healing? Does it mean that if I have enough faith, that anything that is ailing me, any illness that I might have or disease that I might encounter, is not going to be a problem for me because I'm just going to be healed because I have enough faith that it's going to be taken care of? Well, this man's physical healing was actually subsequent to his true healing, because Jesus says two things here. The first thing he said was, "Recover your sight," or sometimes it can be translated as, "Receive your sight." And in the Greek, it's an imperative. It's Jesus' word of rebuke over the physical blindness. And it is that word that brings him physical healing. And then secondly, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well," which could also be translated as, "Your faith has saved you." And as I've already said, that this blind man understood by faith who Jesus was and what he could do, which means he had a saving faith. The salvation is the true spiritual healing that this man received. So really there are two miracles at work here. It's the physical healing that was merely an outward evidence of the inward reality of the salvation that this man received through his faith, which was given to him by God. His blindness and corruption in sin was corrected by Christ. When the blind man received his sight, it was evidence for those who were watching, and ultimately for us today, that the man was in fact saved by grace through faith. His faith brought him to Christ, and finally to salvation. And his salvation from sin brought him sight, a cure for one of the symptoms and the consequences of his sin. And so how was this man demonstrating faith for Jesus even before he received this miracle? When the man heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he called out to Jesus using a prophetic name for the Messiah, the Son of David. And in doing that, he confessed that he understood who Jesus was, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God in the flesh, just as the prophets in the Old Testament said the Messiah would be. He further confessed it by asking for mercy, because that's what sinners do when they come into contact with God. They cry out to God for mercy. And then he asked Jesus to do something that was commonly known to be something that only God can do. He asked for healing. And so in his asking, he confessed that he expected that the will of God toward him was going to be good, even though he did not deserve it, and had no apparent reason to think that ultimately he would receive this blessing. That's what it means to cry out for mercy. It's undeserved grace. That was his faith. That was the faith that this man spoke out when Jesus came to him. And that's why Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you." It was the sort of faith that sees God for who he is and lays all hope and trust in him. So the blind man, who was blind, saw more without his eyesight than the disciples did with full sight. So who was really blind? I mean, ultimately, it was the disciples. The blind man saw, and as a consequence, he began to see physically. He saw spiritually, and then he began to see physically as well. But the sight that was of the greatest value was the one that he already had. The one that comes by faith, to see Jesus for who he truly is. And the disciples, it seems, at least temporarily, were without it. They could not see Jesus for who he really is. So how about you? Do you see? Can you see clearly who Jesus is? And what does this sight do in you and for you? What is it that you see about him? I mean, because we've all received that same God-given faith of the blind man. We've received it through the waters of holy baptism, where ultimately the Holy Spirit comes to us and enlightens us with the truth, and we know that truth. And I love it that the children come in for the children's message, where that truth is reinforced, you know, from a very young age. We understand our place in God's kingdom because of the faith that we've been given. And yet, at times, we act like those 12 disciples. We act as if we don't know the truth. We act as if we cannot see what God is doing for us or through us or in us. That forgiveness of sins should transform your life. It should change how you deal with others. It should act almost as an inoculation against sinful conduct and evil behavior. It should make you patient and forgiving toward other people. And it should cause you to be humble and caring as you deal with those who are a part of the faith, especially, but also for all people. And yet, what is the truth? We struggle to live our lives in accordance with the love of Christ. Having, knowing, and believing in the resurrection from the grave, life everlasting, and salvation should ultimately color everything you do. It should be making a difference in how you approach life and the challenges that you face. Are we like that blind man and we cry out to God for mercy? Or do we seek to calm our anxieties and our fears through other means? See, with the mercy of Christ, there is no room for selfishness. And yet, even though we've been given this faith, you know, how do we react when it comes to selfish behavior? Oftentimes, we think only of ourselves. How does your relationship with God factor into your stewardship? How does God freely giving himself for you match up to you withholding yourself or your offerings to him for whatever reason you may have? Or is your stewardship aimed at someone or something other than God? If you have been forgiven of great sins, and all of us have been forgiven of great sins, that's the truth, and we know that to be true, then why is it that we are so impatient with others and so unwilling to forgive when someone sins against us? If God has given you everything that you have, how can you withhold from him just because you don't understand why something bad has happened to you, or you don't understand why someone is mistreating you? Does that mean you don't trust in God? Does that mean you don't expect him to be good to you? Does that mean that God is somehow holding back some goodness for you that you think you deserve? Don't you know how great his love is for you? See, at times we are blind too. Our sinful nature blinds us. The sinful world that we live in blinds us. The old evil foe blinds us. We continually need the light of Christ to illuminate our darkness and to remind us of the truth of his word. That is why we continually need to be in worship. That's why we continually need to receive from him strength to endure the hardships and the temptations that we face. And how do we receive that strength? We receive it through his word being proclaimed. We receive it by being reminded of our baptism daily. We receive it when we receive the Lord's Supper, which we commune with the very body and blood of Christ that has brought us the forgiveness of sins, that has given us a place in his kingdom. We sang in our opening hymn this morning, the very first stanza, "Today your mercy calls us to wash away our sin, however great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, your precious blood can wash us and make us clean today." That's not a one-time thing, and then it's up to us from there on out to keep ourselves clean. It doesn't work that way. Ultimately, it works daily in our lives, that we walk daily in the grace of our baptism. And then we come to service on Sunday to be refreshed by that blessing of Christ, by that word of Christ, to be reminded of what God has done ultimately to bring you salvation. Because God was willing to endure unimaginable pain and torment to save you. And beginning this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, the church will spend the next 6 weeks throughout the Lenten season contemplating those sufferings and why they were necessary. But it was love, ultimately, love that moved God to rescue you. And it's unconditional love, which means it's not dependent upon us and what we do. Despite our sinfulness, God has rescued us in Christ. So life in this sinful world with this sinful flesh is a struggle. So we will not always see the truth clearly. We need to continually be reminded of it. That word of truth continually needs to be proclaimed. But thanks be to God that there will be a day when we will no longer need to be reminded because we will be experiencing it. There will be a day when our sin will no longer be a struggle for us. There will be a day when the blinders are completely removed and we will see in all of its fullness the glory of God. And we sang about this in our hymn of the day, in that final stanza of our hymn of the day. We will be perfectly restored. That hymn stanza said this, "Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. In the name of Jesus, amen." May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen. Please stand as we confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated as we continue with the prayers of the church. A prayer request has been made, and this is not in your bulletin, for the family of Helen Otey. Helen passed away on Thursday, and so we keep her family, especially her husband Victor, in prayer. Also for Brad Miller, who is a Ridgeville resident. He continues to have some health issues, and several members of the community are coming together to assist Brad as he was not able to work due to his health concerns. So let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. To him who opens the eyes of the blind to see and the ears of the deaf to hear, that as we prepare to enter the season of Lent, he would open our eyes and ears anew through the preaching of his law and gospel to see and hear Christ our Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church and her ministers, to give all pastors courage to embrace gladly the crosses of their office, and to aid all Christians in bearing the reproach of the world, the attacks of Satan, and the temptations of the flesh, in the confidence of Christ's redemption, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the family and all godly Christian homes, that God would give parents diligence and persistence in their duties to teach the faith in word and example, that he would keep all children in his promise made to them in their baptism, and that the patience, kindness, and endurance of Christian love would have no end among us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the state and its servants, that those God has given authority, that to those God has given authority, he would bestow also the wisdom needed to use it dutifully for the benefit of those under authority, to turn us from every evil in judgment, law, or action, and that God would renew in us and our fellow citizens discernment and selfishness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For ourselves and for all who call to God in any need, we pray especially for the family of Helen, especially for her husband Victor at her passing. We pray also for Brad, Margaret, Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Isaac, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bryston, Bill, Jason, Sue, David, Brian, Gary, Keith, Dave, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, what you foretold through the prophets has been fulfilled and accomplished in the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son. You have set forth his passion and resurrection as the firm foundation and content of our faith. Have mercy on us, and open our eyes to be fixed on the Son of David at all times. Give us courage to follow him through all adversity and every assault of the devil, to view his passion with repentant hearts and with delight. For by it you have redeemed us from all sin and evil. Comfort us with the certainty of Christ's resurrection, by which we too have the confidence of eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have gracious
kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Even so.